Ramsey TV.
All right, I got a lot to say to you today. Good morning to everyone. This is Martin Zender. Once again, enjoying speaking to you every day. We all need this. This is great fellowship for me as it is for you. At least that's what you tell me. And speaking of what you tell me, I'm going to read a letter I got. Actually, it was a post on Facebook that my sister sent me. It'll be encouraging to you. I think it's encouraging to me. The title of today's show is Paul Was Human. And this is so great. We picture the Apostle Paul, we think of him as this saint in stained glass. Well, of course, he was a saint, but we're also saints. We picture him as almost like a completed Christ person on the earth who didn't sin, didn't make mistakes, didn't have needs, didn't have emotional needs, didn't get upset, but he did. And he writes the Corinthians, and he's not so much upset here as he's bleeding a little bit. His heart is bleeding because he doesn't feel like the Corinthians are really like taking him to their heart. So I'm not saying Paul's needy, but he has regular human needs to be loved, to be respected, to be wanted. And these things, sometimes we blame ourselves for feeling this way. Why aren't I complete in myself? Why do I need this person or that person? What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. Our apostle was that way. I'm going to pick up where I left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You're going to love it, but first I have a couple things to explain to you. Yesterday, I talked about Daniel chapter 7 and the four beasts being four religions, and that we are seeing this prophecy of Daniel, of a Western beast stamping out the other three beasts coming to fruition. And this is not an isolated prophecy as far as where we are on the Aeonian calendar. No, this is in conjunction with other things. I remind you, I continuously must remind you, because there are naysayers out there, that Jesus, when he was on earth, told his disciples and really us through the ages to watch, and that there would be signs. And the intelligent would have understanding. Daniel said that. The intelligent would have understanding. And that things would come together. And that knowledge would increase. And that it would come to a place where it would be to the elect. It would be unmistakable. And I believe we're at that time. And yet there are still scoffers. Scoffers coming with their scoffing. Of course, what else would they come with? A scoffer comes with scoffing. A scoffer doesn't come with luxurious compliments. A scoffer does not come with sincere input. No, they scoff. And the scoffer says, things have gone on like they have since our fathers have been put to repose. Nothing's different. It goes on and on. This is the attitude that all other prophecies, everybody else who said that we were in the last days of the end, they were all wrong. And then here comes the illogical part. Therefore, you're wrong, Zender. Or therefore, Bullinger's wrong. Therefore, Ernest Martin's wrong. Therefore, F.H. Bader is wrong. Why? Because everybody else was wrong. That is pure stupidity. Just that on a logical front. Because everybody was wrong, therefore we're wrong. And the other tragic thing is to be a scoffer in that saying that everything's gone on as it has. So this will just be another turn on the wheel, you know, another cycle of hope and disappointment. Well, you know, it's got to end sometime, doesn't it? So this prophecy of Daniel's concerning a Western religion stomping an East, a militant, mobile, aggressive Eastern religion, this is in conjunction with other things, such as 6,000 years from Adam. This April, it'll be the year 5992. We're 8 years from the year 6,000. I explain all that in the Revelation series. So that is quite a viable truth and has been confirmed by several sources as far as what year we're in. The Jews are off. They have it. They have a difference of 223 years. And people say, well, the Jews have this. You say we're 5992. They say we're at something that's 200 years different. That should comfort you. The Jews are always wrong. Oops, I mean the Israelites. Be careful there. These are the same people putting prayer requests into a remnant of a Roman barracks. So what do you expect? These are the people who killed their Messiah. What do you expect? They're wrong about everything. That should comfort you that they have a different year. That should comfort you. It's 59, 92, 6,000. The reason every single prognostication about the coming of our Lord to set up the kingdom, the reason they've all been wrong is because 6,000 years had not yet transpired from Adam. As soon as 6,000 years transpires from Adam, then the kingdom comes. It's that simple. A kindergarten kid can predict. You don't have to predict. You just have to have a calculator. There's no prediction involved. You count the years from Adam. And God made sure that you can do that because he listed the generations of Adam and how old such and such was, and they died in the kings of Israel, and how old Abraham was when he did his thing, how old Noah was when he did his thing. The reigns of the kings of Israel, the reigns of the kings of Judah, add up all these numbers, just get a calculator. There you go. All right? That, and the fact that we're 2,000 years from Christ, exactly 2,000 years in 2028, it'll be 2,000 years exactly from the year 28, which is when he announced his public ministry. That's when he officially began. It was also a Jubilee year, and it's been 40 Jubilees from Christ. That's in the mix, okay? That's in the mix. Also in the mix is the sign of September 23rd, 2017, which was real. It was the sign prophesied by John in Revelation chapter 12. So you take the Jubilee years, you take the year of Christ, the beginning of Christ's public ministry, you take the sign of September 23rd, 2017, you take the years from Adam, and you take this religious war. So there's at some point, and I reached that point a couple years ago, at some point you have to be stupid not to see it. It's like God's putting it out there. That's that. As you could see, I'm starting another series called Maria Dilemma. And some of you have been wondering, why am I doing this? Because I really haven't talked about it. There's only been two episodes. Yes, these are episodes. This is a show. And it's not... Those of you who have not seen the first two episodes, the first one's called Crazy Nuns. The second one is called Shampoo Jealousy. And I'm going to link those below. I wish I had 10 of them. We will eventually. I'm working on the third one. I'm planning on putting it out this Saturday. What's that all about? Well, it is a little comedy series, short little, like, not Saturday Night Live, because this is actually funny. It's entertaining bits that make a very broad point. It's not a scriptural teaching. So anybody looking at this series and wanting teaching, you're not going to get it there. That's not what it's for, because it's not primarily for the body of Christ. It's for the world at large. It's like widening the mouth of the funnel to grab more people using this sexy, beautiful woman who is very funny, and then putting my website at the end. And just, it's just my attempt to, you know, try to get more people to find the truth. And plus, I get to exercise my creative muscles, all right? I get to be funny. I mean, I'm funny anyway, but I get to write a script and be uber funny. And Maria, if you've noticed, I'll point this out to you, she is the Latina Lucille Ball. I mean, the full scope of her humor has not come out yet, because we're early in this thing. We only have two episodes that you've seen. The third one's on its way. But she is the Latina Lucille Ball. But she's better looking than Lucille Ball. And so, God put this gift in my lap. Watch it. I met Maria, it'll be 4 years ago, March. I went to a cookout with Juliana. I just gotten here in January of 2016. Went to a cookout at one of her friend's cousins, something like that. I don't know what it was. And it was in Deerfield Beach, and I went there, and there was this woman. I said, who's that? Oh, that's Maria. She's from Lima, Peru. She's visiting here. Her sister lives in Del Rey, and so... But anyway, I had two glasses of wine, and so I asked her out to dinner. Yeah. She also had two glasses of wine and she said yes. So there you have it. Here's a picture of that day on the beach. This is the first day that we met. There we are. And a couple days later, I took her out. And so there's a picture of that. That's our first official date. And we've been fond of each other ever since. And come to find out that she has an acting bent, right? So when she was here in December, we were watching a movie about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. And it hit. That's when it hit me. Actually, it hit both of us. I said, "You're the Latino Lucy." And then the realization came that I'm the gringo Desi Arnaz. So it's so great because in these scripts, I write myself in as the straight man. I'm the straight man to the zany Maria de Lima. Her name is Maria Panduro. But in the name of the series is Maria de Lima because it sounds, it's melodic. It's poetic. You see, Maria de Lima. Her name is Maria Panduro. And she is from Lima, Peru. And so we're going to make more of these, God willing. I mean, that's my plan. And by the way, I do want to say this. This is a series that I've had in mind for 5 years. Yes, it is true. I've wanted to do little like acting things, right? Because I like to act. I like to get in a different character. And I first started thinking about this back when I was in Brazil. I was going to name the series Psycho Boy because I wanted a series where a person does crazy stuff. And there's some broad theme, and there's a very broad scriptural point. After every one of these episodes, you'll see a scriptural point, okay? There'll be a verse that's loosely, that very, very loosely has to do with the episode. So I wanted to call it Psycho Boy, and I wrote like 100 ideas down. So I have 100 ideas for scripts, over 100. I had them listed in a notebook. So I've been thinking about this for a long time. Then I got stateside again, and I was thinking, you know what? Who wants to see me? What would be great is if I had a female lead. So then I met a girl up north here in northern of Florida, and I thought for a while, okay, this is a girl that's going to be the new star of the show, but I'm going to have to rename it Psycho Girl. So I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. Who wants to see Psycho Boy? But Psycho Girl, that's a fun title. Well, that didn't pan out. So then, you know, all this time, you know, seeing Maria, and it finally hit me last year. I was on a run, and I was running down Los Olas Boulevard, coming over the bridge, over the intercoastal waterway, and it hit me. Maria de Lima, she's the one. So I instantly took all these ideas and I'm starting to write scripts. That's that. It's a beautiful thing. Stay tuned for more. There's a method to my madness. So again, this is not for the body of Christ, but of course I'm sending it to you. You're the initial audience. But later on, we're going to try to, after we have 10 or 15 episodes, we're going to try to get a bigger audience. And I think the more of them you watch, the more addicted you will get to Maria, her personality. Yeah, we're going to just explore more of it. So, that's that. I want to read something to you before I get to the scriptures. Why do I read this? Because this will encourage you. Because as you have supported my work for years, and I want you to, I always like once in a while to remind you of the fruit of your investment in my work. You are investors. Like, you can't spend full time doing this stuff and making shows and writing articles and publishing books and trying to find all these ways to get the evangel out. But God has put me in this place, but you have helped me. It's like I'm a horse in a race, and you've put your money on this horse. And as I always say, you're betting on the right horse. So once in a while, I like to read something that shows fruit from the labor. I could read 5 or 6 letters every day, but I don't do it because it's too self-indulgent. At least it comes across to me as self-indulgent. I don't like to talk about myself constantly, even though I've spent half this video talking about myself. No, I haven't. I've been talking about Maria. So listen to this. This was a post on Facebook. I'm not going to name this person, but it was from a woman. I seem to post a lot lately. I need to vent. I am very grateful to Martin Zender. That's me. This was written on Facebook, and I think it was kind of addressed to my sister, Kelly, for some reason, who is the president of our little company, Stark and Hartman. I'm very grateful to Martin Zender. Martin, I don't always agree with. Well, I think twice. I haven't agreed with him during the Adam and Eve videos. Yeah, I made some videos on human sexuality. Some people objected to them. Otherwise, but listen to this. He was used by God to help my marriage. Martin doesn't know this. For over 6 months, my husband and I watched Martin Zender, and then we watched Rob Weil together with coffee when we get up. So this couple, they get up in the morning, they make coffee, they watch Rob Weil, and they watch me. It's brought us to a place of healing. Amazing. The conversations we have during and after these shows. I need to email Martin, but he and his sister, Kelly, okay, so she's not writing this to Kelly, but she's writing it concerning us to the Facebook audience. He and his sister, Kelly, sent my daughter, The First Idiot in Heaven. That's my book about the two Gospels. It's about the Apostle Paul. While in jail, sent this book to my daughter. His sister and him sent a book free to my daughter in jail as a love offering. Yes, we give away a lot of books, which she read and appreciated. Martin has no idea how he has impacted my hubby or my life. Well, now I do have an idea. And now I want you to have an idea that this is just some fruit. There's much more, but I can't do this every day. He has no idea how he's impacted my hubby or my life or our marriage or my children or my atheist neighbor's boyfriend. Her atheist neighbor's boyfriend, who for Christmas gave a copy, I gave a copy of First Idiot. So this lady gave a copy of First Idiot to her atheist neighbor's boyfriend. How's that? See, these books take on a life of their own. This show takes on a life of its own. And my husband has spoke at length to him during the summer, and he wanted the book so much so that he asked three times. Kind of like Dorothy, click your heels three times, and bang, the magic happens. It goes on, and she finishes this way. I appreciate Martin, even sick. Like I'm sick sometimes, but I record anyway. And Charles is looking dejected. She's sad. Sometimes Charles looks dejected, my dog. And Kelly, I appreciate Kelly who answers the emails. You both have no idea how you are impacting people. Kelly, let your brother know I'm praying for him and that he is a trooper. And we always like to see Charles. Of course, everybody always likes to see Charles. So thank you for that nice note on Facebook. And thank you out there for supporting this work. Now, the Apostle Paul is a human being. A couple days ago, I read this. Paul says, thus let a man be reckoning with us as deputies of Christ and administrators of God's secrets. Here, furthermore, it is being sought in administrators that any such may be found faithful. See, Paul's talking about himself. He has no problem talking about himself. It's the new I. Paul sees himself as a new humanity. The old humanity died, so he has no problem using the personal pronoun I, because this personal pronoun no longer refers to the old humanity, but the new humanity. And it's no longer Paul, but Christ living in him. You see what I mean? Now, to me, it's the least trifle that I may be being examined by you or by man's day, but neither am I examining myself. We went through this a couple days ago. This is new material. Starting with verse 6, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, these things, brethren, I transfer in a figure to myself and Apollos because of you, that in us you may be learning not to be disposed above what is written. Apparently, the Corinthians, see, they were competing for revelations. Who gets the best revelation? Who gets the greatest revelation? Who's had a dream? Who's had, who's read the tea leaves or whatever? But Paul says, no, don't be disposed above what is written, that you may not be puffed up one over the one. And this is what happens in Pentecostal circles. People get puffed up all the time because they are disposed above what is written. In fact, Pentecostal people don't really need the Word of God. They're too spiritual for that, you see. And we are just intellectual eggheads that we use the Scriptures. They don't need it. They speak in tongues and they get revelations. They have dreams and they get direct word from the Lord. And if you don't have a direct word from the Lord, if you don't speak in tongues, if you're not healing people, then you're puffed, then you're not as good. And so this just engenders people getting puffed up one over the other against the other. And Paul says this, who is making you to discriminate? So who are you to discriminate between what you know? This is even now in the body of Christ. Some of us know more than others. Some of us do more than others. Some of us are stretching ahead toward the prize. Some of us aren't. But we shouldn't discriminate, because what do you have that you did not obtain? This is one of my favorite verses. I've used it many times. 1 Corinthians 4, 7. What do you have that you did not obtain? That is, what do you have that you did not get? You have nothing that you didn't get. Now, if you are obtaining it, why are you boasting as though not obtaining it? Boasting? Who the hell is boasting in this evangel or in anything we're doing concerning this evangel? That letter I just read you, it's not a boast at all. The fact that I'm making a series trying to get more people into the body of Christ with my friend Maria, it's not boasting. I'm just reporting. But apparently the Corinthians were boasting. And Paul says this now. Paul is feeling slighted. This is where Paul is human. Because these people were boasting, the Corinthians. These people he just called immature. He said that they couldn't even take meat. He was giving them milk. And he is the great apostle. And Apollos, Apollos, major player. This is an A-lister, Apollos. And Paul and Apollos are like these mighty men of God. And they're out sweating. They're in the swamp. They're getting beaten. We're going to see that here, all the things that the teachers are suffering. But in the meantime, the Corinthians are luxuriating in the truth, and they're sated, and they're all this, and they've kind of forgotten about Paul. They've kind of like, what's Paul up to? Not realizing that he's the one who brought them the evangel. And they're kind of slighting him here, and Paul's feeling a little hurt, his soul is bleeding a little bit, which I think is touching, and I like it. And Paul's trying to hide it a little bit here, but he can't hide it from me anyway. He comes at it not emotionally, but he comes at it a little satirically, a little in a smart-ass way. He says, already you are sated, already you are rich. Apart from us, you reign, and would that you surely reign, that we also should be reigning together with you. So he's goading them a little bit. For I suppose that God demonstrates with us, see, he's talking about himself and Apollos, the last apostles, as death doomed, for we became a theater to the world and to messengers. And this is a great verse. I'm going to save this for tomorrow. I'm going to talk about how we are a theater. We are a gazing stock. We are being watched by angels, by celestial magistrates. This is interesting. They're more interested in us and what's happening with us than people of the earth are. Paul says, we are stupid because of Christ. So Paul's out teaching this word, being mocked, putting it out there, getting ridiculed like he was on Mars Hill in Athens. In the meantime, the Corinthians are just sitting around, really living soulishly, but luxuriating in their justification, which is not bad in itself, but they were neglecting Paul. I'm not saying this trying to hint that I am being neglected. Not at all. I'm just luxuriating. I'm just reveling in the fact that Paul was human and that he's putting this out very, very subtly. Well, not subtly, satirically to the Corinthians. We're stupid because of Christ, yet you are prudent. We are weak, yet you are strong. You are glorious, yet we are dishonored. Until the present hour, we are hungering also and thirsting. We are naked and buffeted and unsettled and toiling, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we are blessing. Being persecuted, we are bearing with it. Being calumniated, that is spoken of poorly, we are entreating. As the offscouring of the world, King James, I think, says scum. As a scum of the world we became, the scum of all things hitherto. Oh, scum's here. As the offscouring of the world we become, the scum of all things hitherto. So Paul says, I'm scum. It's very nice that you're there in Corinth basking in this while the scum is out here trying to bring the gospel to more people. Not to be abashing you, am I writing these things? Huh, I beg to differ. But as my children beloved, I am admonishing you. For if you, here it is. For if you should be having 10,000 escorts in Christ, that is people who travel with you in the faith, nevertheless, not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, through the evangel, I beget you. Love it how Paul uses the personal pronoun. He is not afraid to call himself a father, small f. For in Christ Jesus, he acknowledges the Lord, of course, the one who brings everything. He just said, what do you have that you didn't obtain? So Paul's not saying, I didn't obtain this. He's just saying that I became a father to you. For in Christ Jesus, through the evangel, I beget you. I birthed you. Paul said, I birthed you. And I know many people, even in the ecclesia, even in the body of Christ, that would take Paul to task for this. Like, Paul, you didn't do it. It was Christ. Don't you think Paul knows that? But that's the absolute truth. And Paul's walking among people. He's laboring and he's toiling and he's feeling a little neglected. And he's saying, through the evangel, I beget you. I brought you the evangel. Folks, there are several people who I became a father to. I begat them through the evangel. God used me to bring them the word of truth, like Paul was used for the Corinthians in that day. And I have been forsaken by these same people. They have never talked to me again. Some people have never talked to me again in spite of me bringing them the evangel. I mean, many more people appreciate me. So, but I'm just saying I can taste a little bit of this, and you can too. I'm not the only one who's brought people into the evangel. You have too. And people don't always appreciate what you have given them. I am entreating you then, become imitators of me. That is, come down in the swamp with me. Come off a little bit of the, thanks, Paul. We appreciate what you did for us, so sayonara. No. Therefore, I send you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Here again, he's the father of Timothy, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Why is he sending Timothy to them, who will be reminding you of my ways? Paul wants them to know what he's up to. He's feeling slighted. He's feeling a little neglected. And he says, I want you to know what I'm doing. I want you to be reminded of me. And so I'm sending Timothy to you. Why? So he can bring you the evangel? So he can bring you some new word? No. So he can tell you what I'm up to. Who will be reminding you of my ways, which are in Christ Jesus, according as I am teaching everywhere in every ecclesia. And then Paul says, now some were puffed up as though I were not coming to you. So I love this human touch. I love to show every now and then when it pops out at me that Paul was human. We are human. We all have needs. We need each other. We should never neglect one another in any way. And even if it does happen, as I told you earlier, at the dais of Christ, all these things will be adjusted. But as much as we are able, let us walk with one another and never, ever forget one another.